Blog Talk Radio.
I think it worked. No. The show is actually still going now. Everything that I do, everything you hear is kind of a live format. I don't do the music. I don't really need the music. Everyone that's going to be listening to this show has no idea who this is right now. Now, Tim, I just need you to sit back for a second and let me do what it is that I do. I'm going to welcome Tim Kennedy to the show. But the way I welcome everybody to the show is they get a little introduction. You know, I'm very excited because I'm not just talking to some random person. I'm talking to just a UFC superstar, former Strikeforce superstar. This kid makes it rain. When I really had to try to get an introduction ready for you, Tim Kennedy, I had to go to all of the great captains of the world. Captain America, Captain Planet, Captain Ginyu, Captain Morgan, Captain Crunch. The reason I'm giving you a captain-level introduction is because you, Tim Kennedy, are a human centrifuge. I don't really know if people know what that means, like that mass blast, black effect, massive black hole. If you put all of the great captains and all of the great powers in the world and put them in one human being, you have got Tim Kennedy. That's your introduction, Tim Kennedy. Welcome to my personal show with you. What's up, man?
I mean, that was awesome. Probably the best introduction I've ever had.
I hear that all the time. I'm just so excited that you gave me this opportunity because, I mean, you were doing so many other things. But I act, yes, I understand that my questioning was of an, I guess you could say, a more interesting format. But I'm an interesting person, and you are also an interesting person. And that's why we're here together to talk about interesting things.
Yeah, everything else is boring. I like interesting things.
Well, we're here to showcase these interesting things and extract them. You know, you feel a lot about of the things that I feel. You know, I mean, you make a lot more money than I do, so you can be more vocal about these things, but I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on you, Tim Kennedy, the fact that you are a UFC superstar. You are of an extremely high level. I mean, I looked at your career. We'll talk about that. You have 23 wins and only 5 losses. That must just be a great, you know, career for you because you're a, you used to be in the military. I think you're still in the military. You'll always be military. But now you are a professional fighter, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be part of Special Forces until the day I die, but right now I guess my full-time gig is that of cracking heads.
Yeah, when I went on your Twitter, they seemed to be on your back about your 17-month hiatus, if you would say. Like, when people get on your nuts about that, because I'm letting you know you can curse and stuff here, when people get on your nuts about the time you took off, what is your, like, general response to them?
I don't know, babe. Come walk in my shoes for a minute. You know, before you pass judgment on anybody about anything, just try to imagine what they've done, what they've been through, where they've been. And, you know, if you're going to try to do that with me, you're going to have to understand that your boots are probably going to be pretty bloody. You know, they're going to be dirty, they're going to be swollen, they're going to be broken. So, yeah, just kind of take a second before you make some assumptions about, you know, what you know about the person you think you're talking about.
It's easy to make an assumption sitting on a couch, you know, watching old school Strikeforce or Elite XC. I mean, those are good times, but, I mean, you literally do things, and that's, you know, again, part of the reason I brought you to the show. I mean, you did, to my recollection, you did 2 tours in the military, and these weren't, like, simple tours. These were when the world was in some of its toughest times. Just how was that experience? And I guess how long in total were you in active military duty?
Where am I at? I'm at 11 years right now. And I had, I think I'm somewhere around 8 deployments total. And I love my job. Being a Green Beret is the best job in the world.
Definitely. I have a lot of the people that I talk to, a lot of my friends and family, they're so heavy in just military combat. And I kind of want to focus on that. I want that to be the beginning focus because when I sent you the email, it was from the Ranger Up. So, you know, your account is under Ranger Up. So I kind of want to know about that. I mean, I guess I could tell everybody a little bit about it. Ranger Up is a military-owned and operated patriotic enemy lifestyle brand. And if you guys don't know what that means that they're getting things for you, you know, for the people, for the fans, for the fighters, and they're a great company, you know, here for the military. Are you a part of that, or is that just something that you know?
No, I'm one of the owners of Ranger Up. I was their first sponsored athlete, and then went from being a sponsored athlete to absolutely falling in love with everything about the company. And, you know, in the course of the past 9 years since I've been involved with them, you know, just kind of continuing to grow my position in that company and as an owner.
Yeah, actually, I took a look at the net worth right now. I mean, they're worth over $10 million. That's a lot of money. So from 9 years ago to now, the growth that a company can attain, I'm going to attribute a lot of that to you because you're a guest on my show. Even if it's not true, it's true now. As I said, it is.
Well, thanks. I'm fairly confident that I had maybe a little bit to do with it, but the vast majority of that is going to have to fall on, you know, just the community, the fan base, the people that believe in us, pushing us. We have the most charismatic and insane fan base in the world, I think. You know, like you mess with a Ranger Up customer, you've bit off more than you can chew. Like these are the vast majority of them are military, firefighters, law enforcement. You know, they're true sheepdogs, and it is a major mistake to make assumptions about that community and, you know, tell them what to do.
Yeah, from what I heard, their success rate is 100% because if you complain, they'll kick your ass. That's good. Geico can't beat that.
Yeah, fortunately, not many complain.
Now, I kind of want to focus back towards you. This is going to be, like, all over the place because this is kind of how I am and how I think. I want to go just into your lineage. You've got a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but that's not what I want to talk about. I've talked to a lot of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belts. I want to talk about Matt Larson's Modern Army Combative Program. I just want people to know a little bit about that and what that is.
So, MACP, the Modern Combatives Program, was created maybe 10, 15 years ago. Matt Larson was a Hoist Gracie-trained jiu-jitsu black belt, and he was a ranger. So there's a bunch of different types of rangers. There's, like, guys that go to ranger school and have the ranger tab, and there's guys that are in ranger battalion and that are part of the 75th Ranger Regiment. He's one of those guys. So he is a true ranger, and started first class from the Army, and he started looking at the style of combatives that the Army was doing and where we were moving into, you know, post 9/11 world. We were just very ill-equipped. You know, we were still doing things from World War II, you know, like sweep the leg and stomp the neck. That doesn't work when you're dealing with civilians. That doesn't work when you're dealing with, you know, a semi-permissive, you know, maybe even permissive environment where you're going to have a bunch of people that really don't know what's going on, civil unrest. So, you know, you had to give soldiers a lot more tools. And that's where Modern Combatives Program came into play. You know, it's giving people the fundamentals, the basics of wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and boxing, and then adding a whole bunch of other skills like weapons, etched weapons, guns, kit, and, you know, finally the final product being MACP and what I think is a really good style.
Is that a style that you can only learn if you're in the military, or can, like, you or me or, well, you already know it, but, like, you could teach me and not get in trouble, right?
I think the only way that you can attend a MACP course is if you are in the military.
Boo. No, that's cool. No, it's kind of one of the perks. I mean, I realize that military isn't all perks. And, I mean, I was taking a look at the statistics. I know you're one of the successful veterans, but it's kind of something I wanted to talk about because it says, like, once you get out, it says, like, of all of the homeless people in the world right now or in the U.S. right now, 1 in 4. Just what are your thoughts on that? Because I know you're on the other thing, you know, you're on the more successful side. But just have you been doing anything, any work with them to help them? Because I know you're that kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm involved in countless. I mean, I don't even know how many nonprofits I work with and for. from Higher Heroes with Brian Stan. You know, I raised almost $100,000 for him last month. I'm on the board of Veterans Outdoors, which is, you know, we take guys that are struggling kind of with integration and just kind of getting back up on the horse after maybe some deployments for their military career, and take them out into life and just in, out in the wild, and kind of show them how amazing life is, whether it's hunting or fishing or, you know, camping, just something. You know, Team Rubicon, huge proponent of them. They're a fantastic organization. I mean, I got some really great people I'm working with. Yeah, it's heartbreaking. You know, it's hard to come. It's hard to bounce back from, you know, where we've been and what we've done to what it's like here in the United States. You know, if you're over in Iraq, you're in Afghanistan, you're in Pakistan, you're in Turkey, you're in Lebanon, you're in Benghazi. You know, Lebanon, it's horrific. Terrible, it's scary, and then you have to just come back and drive your kids to school. It's not that easy. Like, the brain doesn't work that way. And, you know, guys just have a really difficult time coming back and just being normal. There's, you know, on the flip side, from the civilian perspective, you see these guys come back and everybody's looking at them like they have all these problems. They don't. You know, like, you know, we're all very talented, very skilled guys that just went through a whole bunch of crazy stuff. You know, so I think the perception of who we are and what we are, you know, we're not monsters, we're not murderers, we're not baby killers. You know, we're like red heart bleeding Americans that believe in the country and support the Constitution. And now when we come back, you know, we're almost ostracized and excommunicated in some degree, just because of the things that we did for the people. And so, if I do anything, it's just spending a lot of time trying to re-educate civilians on how capable and skillful the military community is. Ranger Up is a perfect example of that. You know, we hire almost exclusively veterans, and we have the best employees on the planet. You know, guys at work, they're on time every single day. I mean, I don't know if you've ever owned companies before, just hiring somebody that will come in on time and leave at the end of the day, let alone the quality of work, is like something spectacular. Now, then our employees, like, they show up every single day and they do fantastic work. They're motivated. You know, they're easily trained. Yeah, they're quirky, tell war stories. Sometimes they, you know, they say fuck a lot. you know, but golly, they're amazing. They're amazing employees.
I could imagine. I mean, if I had you, if I was employed by you, I would tell stories. I could tell you stories about the interviews I've had, but now I can tell people that I've had an interview with you. This is far from over because I've got so many other just subjects to get into. But just the military, when it comes to you, is something I really wanted to put at the forefront, because we're going to get into the other things, especially because you're just a vocal proponent of a lot of the things that I'm against and for, which is good. But I kind of want to focus. I want this transition to go towards you and your career. You know, I told everybody when the show started that you have 23 wins and – no, I'm sorry, you have 24 wins. I don't give a shit what they say about that 24th alleged loss. In your last fight, I want to specifically go about this one that happened when you allegedly got knocked out in the third round. What are your thoughts on that? I'm going to tell you my thoughts first, and then we can go into your thoughts. I feel as though Yoel Romero – he lost that fight. If you're unable to answer the judge's call and you're sitting on your stool and you're going, that means you are, what is that, a TKO, right? If you're unable to get up, there is no before the bell. There is no after the bell. This is between the bells. So technically, you are 23 wins and 24 wins and 4 losses. But what are your thoughts on that fight if you can go back that far, 17 months?
Man, if you look at all my losses, they're kind of similar to that. You know, it's like a doctor stoppage or a major referee screw up or some horrible judging. I agree with you. But on the flip side, when he didn't answer that bell and I thought the fight was over, I start celebrating. That was like a major mistake on my part. So I think some responsibility falls on me. I should have just been sitting there, you know, while he's trying, refusing to answer the bell, refusing to get off the stool, his corner's cheating, putting Vaseline on, spilling ice, doing all the things that they're going to do.
I should just sat there and looked straight at him and been smiling because I knew that I was going to get to hurt him again. I did the opposite of that. I thought I had won, and I start celebrating. I'm leaving the fight. He's trying to get back into the fight. That's a mistake on my part. That was a complete error on focus. So, you know, I think I bear the burden of responsibility for not being prepared for the referee screwing up and for you all cheating.
Cheating like a dog, just laying on that thing. But you know, I'm not even going to just go on that one because I made sure I took a look at your entire record. You know, that Luke Rockhold fight was insane. That was probably one of my favorite fights in Strikeforce's history. And I know Strikeforce had Fedor fight a bunch of times, but just watching your performances from Melvin Manhoff to Jacare Souza, even though you're not winning these fights, you excite the shit out of me. I mean, you've pretty much been to the decision more than the champion. In fact, you have a notable win against the champion, Robbie Lawler, back there when Fedor fought Henderson. So no matter what anybody says, I realize that rankings are irrelevant. It states that you're the number 9 ranked, middleweight? Welterweight, yep. You're middleweight. But the whole thing is the rankings are irrelevant. And the reason why the rankings are irrelevant is because of things like shitty judging, things like fighters not getting off the stool. Now, I know you've been off for 17 months, but you've been talking a good talk. You know, I realize that you would like to get your hands on a person like a Dan Henderson as well as Lyoto Machida in a quote-unquote loser-goes-home match. If you could choose one of those two fights, which one would you put precedence over the other, Dan Henderson or Lyoto Machida?
I love both those fights. I think if Joe Silva called me and was like, hey, I want you to fight, you know, either of those dudes, I'd be jumping for joy and equally excited. So, you know, like 100% don't have a preference. Would love to fight both those guys. Gegard Mousasi is another dude I'd like to fight. Anderson Silva is another dude I'd love to fight. I said on the Errol Hawani show just a couple of days ago, you know, if I had my dream fight, it would be Anderson Silva. And the whole division is wide open. Like, I love this four. I love my weight class. We have the best fighters on the planet in my weight class, and oh man, this is, life's too good. What time is it now? I have 8 minutes.
All right, 8 minutes is cool. 8 minutes is good because now we can focus on the thing I want to talk about the most. Now, in every single one of your fights leading up to the Yoel Romero fight, including the Yoel Romero fight, you typically made a really good amount in sponsorship money. Now, with this new Reebok tier deal, if you fought tomorrow, you would receive, what, $5,000 in sponsorship money? Just what are your thoughts on the sponsorship, just tier thing in Reebok as a whole, if you don't mind getting into that?
It's a bummer. I'm a businessman, and you know, if we just negotiated business, I just got totally hosed. You know, if I was negotiating this contract and this is what they offered me, I'd walk away from it. It's a bad deal. It's bad for me. It's bad for my business. It's bad for my family, and it's bad for my brand. I can't think of a good aspect to it. You know, so
I've been trying to find a good. I figured I'd talk to you about it because I've been trying to find a good aspect in it. It would be as if you and I. We're making great money. We're the manager of our own company. And now the company said, guess what? You have to go back to washing dishes. And there is no manager anymore because basically the manager makes $100,000. For example, because that's what you made. You made $107,500 in one of your better Strikeforce fights. You typically make $100,000. So now you're going down to $5,000. My question is to everybody, who's getting the money? Now, the thing is, they were given $70 million Reebok. Who's getting the money? Not the fighter. So guess who's really making the money? Tim. Not Tim. Company's making the money. That's terrible. A friend of mine, I'm sorry.
Everybody's talking about the $70 million. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, so NBA, who's at the center? Adidas just signed for $200 million to one athlete to wear Adidas stuff. Now, we're talking about 500 UFC athletes all wearing Reebok, and they're paying all 500 of us $70 million? That's impossible. It's there's no There's no way that that makes sense, and there's no way that that was the number that the UFC negotiated. Maybe another zero on that. You know, $700 million, I would believe. But $70 million for exclusive access to the entire UFC roster? Oh, come on. No way.
Not just that. The uniforms are god-awful. I saw your tweet. I mean, that was kind of part of the reason I wanted to bring you on, is because on your tweet, you said that they took your stuff off. Now, I'm pretty sure they got your name wrong. I'm pretty sure it said, like, Tom Connolly. My whole thing is, first off, you're not paying them enough, $70 million. You literally just said it. $700 would be a more worthwhile option. So, yeah, as a business person, you're being hosed, and it's like there's no choice. If you, Tim, went into a UFC weigh-ins with your Ranger Upper Power, would they make you take it off? So if you refuse to be a part of this Reebok dictatorship, you're done?
I can't fight. Yep.
That is effing BS. And I talked about that. They're trying to make the world great. Did you actually see those uniforms? Because I know it's been a few months. They're Power Rangers costumes. There's no soul. But I know you don't have a lot of time. You know, I would love to just jump at Reebok's neck about this, but I have to respect the time restraint. And I just want to just thank you, Tim, for the time that you gave to us. And I cannot wait until you come back and perform again and maybe get on the show again, because that would be awesome times too.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And, you know, keep fighting the fight, you know. Keep talking about it. It's guys like you that are gonna ultimately make a change, you know. Fans listening to you, fans trying to understand what's going on. You know, like, yeah, I love fighting. I love watching the fights. You know, I think it's part of the American spirit. You just go out there and put all out on the line, you know, risk everything for the, you know, the chance of reward. But, you know, you got to understand the backside of this. So, and that's the business side, and it's scary. But thanks again, man. I appreciate it, and I'll catch you later.
All righty, man. Thank you so much. I'll make sure I'll post this to you so you can share this, and I hope you enjoyed your experience with me, because I enjoyed my experience with you, Tim Kennedy. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, all right. Thanks, buddy.
All right, man. Have a great day. All right, everybody. I'm Cole Vick. This is the – I know the lady told me I've got 60 seconds left, but just everybody check out Tim Kennedy on his Twitter, on his Facebook. Check out his Ranger Up brand and everything that he does. Check me out. I have no brands. I have no money. I have no Reebok. But who cares about all these things? Everybody, have a good time listening to this, because I'm going to enjoy it too.